And so for the rest of you, and this will be a very short message by my standards. Yeah, exactly. So, would you turn to the book of Jude? The book of Jude. If you're using the church Bibles, you'll find this on page 1027. Jude, it's only one chapter, verses 24 and 25. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. If you're able, would you please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word? These two verses may sound familiar to you. And now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Give me that box. I'm going to take it with me. For 7 years, I have closed our services with this benediction. It's been a spectacular 7 years for us. And as you can tell, it for Cheryl and for me, it is incredibly hard for us to say goodbye. But being that it's my last day with you, it's time for me to come clean and make a confession to you. This really isn't a benediction. How about that? For 7 years, I've been giving you a benediction that's not really a benediction. And I thought I should let you know before I leave. Because a benediction is when we pronounce God's blessing upon us. But a doxology is when God's people bless and praise God. And what's actually happening in these two verses is, when I say it's not a benediction, maybe I should clarify that. It's not purely a benediction. It's a doxology. It's us singing and declaring the praises and blessing God for who He is. But inside of that doxology are blessings that come to us in Christ. And so, as so many times I ask you these questions, is it a doxology or is it a benediction? The answer is yes. Yes. It's both. It's a doxology with benediction. We're praising God for His attributes, but in that praise, we're reminded of what God has done for us in Jesus. And I waffled for 6 weeks on what I would preach to you in my last message, and I just thought how appropriate it would be to give a farewell text from something you've heard me say almost every Sunday for 7 years. But I want to look at it differently than we normally do. I want to look at it from the perspective of Mayer Community Church and the future of our church and how this passage can help us move forward as a church. Because we are. We're just, like I told the kids, we're just connected to the vine. And we're just growing. We're growing. And so I have 2 points for you today. That's right. 2, not 3. And the first point is this, from verse 24, God is able. Isn't that amazing? Listen to that. Now to Him who is able. You know what able means? It is the ability, the authority, the power, the will to accomplish exactly what He intends. God is able. I did a brief survey of passages in the Bible that talk about God's ability. And this is just a handful of them. From Daniel 3:17, He is able to deliver. From Romans 14:4, he is able to sustain us. Romans 16:25, he's able to strengthen us. 2 Corinthians 9:8, he's able to make all grace abound to us. 2 Timothy 1:12, he's able to guard the teaching that's been entrusted to us. And then, if you're thinking people who know your Bibles, you can't help but think of Ephesians 3:20. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think. Just think about what God is able to do and is doing in the life of Mayer Community Church. Guys, everything that you've seen in the slides that Cheryl's put up and the memories that we have shared dating back to January 8th of 1960 has been because God is able. And in the context of Jude, he is specifically able to help us to persevere. Jude is about a letter that was written because false teaching was creeping into the church. And he wanted the church to remember and to hold fast the faith that was once and for all given to the saints. And in light of all the people that were falling away into false teaching, he tells us at the end of his letter, God is able to preserve you. And this is where we start to see the blessings that are ours in Christ. What is the first one? That he is able to keep us from stumbling, from falling away from the faith. This week, for any of you who understand or are aware of what's happening within the greater Christian community of the United States, a shocking pronouncement came out. The young man, Joshua Harris, who wrote 20-some-odd years ago the book I Kiss Dating Goodbye, announced first of all that he was separating from his wife and secondly that he was no longer a Christian. This is a man who took over for C.J. Mahaney and was one of the best young preachers of our generation at Sovereign Grace Covenant Life Church in Gaithersburg, Maryland. How does that happen? Typically, that doesn't happen because we change our minds. Typically, that happens because something in our lifestyle choices have crept in. And I don't want to talk about Josh, and I want to pray, and I want to have all of us praying for Josh. But here's the thing. If you think you're beyond that, you're sadly mistaken. Every one of us would fall were it not for the persevering grace of Jesus Christ. And our God is able to keep us from stumbling. We can't keep ourselves, but God can keep us. The other blessing that is ours here, the second blessing, is that he will present us blameless before the presence of God's glory with great joy. This is an allusion to God's perfecting, sanctifying grace. Do you want to know what God's will for your life is? Your sanctification. There, I just solved it for you. You can find it in 1 Thessalonians 4. It's just flat out right there. God is making us like Jesus. He predestined us before time, determined that he would conform us to the image of his Son. And we will not be just transformed a little bit. We will be completely transformed. And the older that I get, the greatest hope that I have in heaven is not about seeing the dog that I had when I was a teenager. Frankly, it's not about seeing my grandfather. Greatest hope that I have in heaven is that I'll be done with sin. And I'll see Jesus. And I'll be like him because I'll see him as he is. And he says with great joy, because to stand before a holy God should lead us to terror. But because we are in Christ, we will not stand before our Heavenly Father in terror, but with incredible joy. You and I aren't there yet, but God's not done with us. That's why one of my spiritual heroes today is Ray Ortland, whose church, Emmanuel Nashville, has a very simple mantra. Number one, I'm an idiot. Number two, my future is incredibly bright. Number three, anybody can get in on this. Okay? There it is. Like you, I'm an idiot. But my future, the Dan that will be in the presence of Jesus, oh, you won't even recognize him. And think about what God is doing and will do in your personal lives. God is able. That's point one. Point two, God is worthy. Look at verse 25. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. If I can give you a charge, and I will at the end of this message, it would be this. Never, ever, ever compromise. Never compromise your faith. Never compromise the faith of Scripture. Ever. And don't allow any man who stands in this pulpit to do so either. What do we see about the worthiness of God in this verse? Number one, we should note his uniqueness. To the only God, not one of many, not the best choice, the only God. We must, this is a warning against idolatry, people. We must never worship anyone or anything but the one true God. To the only God. But don't only look at his uniqueness, look at his work. To the only God, what kind of thing does he do? He's our Savior God through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, this references his character and his work. God saves not just because it's something that he desires to do, it's who he is. He's a saving God. And we must never compromise on the exclusivity of salvation in Jesus. To the only God, our Savior, and the only way that we can be saved is through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the only way to the Father. He is the only mediator between God and man. He is the only way of salvation. There is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. Do not compromise on this. Do not be ashamed of it. It is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And then third, take a note of the incredible worth of God. Glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. What is his glory? I wrote down originally, and if you're talking about glory, there's only two theologians that I believe that you should go to. One's an old one and one's still alive. Jonathan Edwards or John Piper. Okay? And I wrote this down. First of all, his glory is his weightiness, just the weight of God. You know, his splendor, just the substance of God. But John Piper defines his glory as this: his infinite beauty and greatness of God's manifold perfections. Dude, that'll preach. The infinite beauty and greatness of all of God's perfections. That's what we mean by God's glory. His majesty, we know what that means, just that kingly presence and status. His dominion, it's his rule, his power, his authority, his control over all creation. And it moves into his authority, which is his right to demand and command and rule his creatures. Never doubt the ability of God because of the character of God, because of his glory, his majesty, his dominion, his authority. And finally, take note of his eternality before all time and now and forever. He has been, he is, and he always will be worthy of our worship. So rest in him, church. Nothing changes in God. And so his promises are good. And one promise that God the Son gave us is that he would build his church. He's doing that. He will not renege on that promise. And that includes his church in Mayer. For 7 years, that's what I've been repeating, and that's what those verses mean. And now I want to take time to do something that I didn't ask for permission to do. And I am a firm believer that it's better to ask forgiveness than ask permission. Amen? Okay. If you go to an ordination service, has anybody ever gone to a service where a man is ordained into pastoral ministry? You guys, I'm sure, have. Yeah, okay. Okay, good. Or an installation service. Oftentimes it will happen at an installation service when a new pastor comes in and is installed, you know, kind of like a washer-dryer into the church. Is somebody who speaks at that service will give a charge. And a charge is like a instruction, a holy instruction based in Scripture to remind that individual of their duties and responsibilities and what God has called them to do. So what we've seen so far, and the way that I want to complete my time in this pulpit, we have seen that God is able, we have seen that God is worthy, we have seen that we can trust Him, we've seen that we can depend on Him, and now I want to turn the tables. And instead of having someone give me a charge as the pastor, as the leaving, exiting pastor, I want to give you a charge. And so here's what I want you to do, and everyone needs an English Standard Version Bible to do this. Either pull out the pew Bibles, the church Bibles, or if you use the ESV, turn in the Bible yourself. I need everyone to have access to a Bible because you're going to be reading this charge with me. Because I don't think that you'll listen to anyone's voice as much as you'll listen to your own. And I want you to turn to page 988 if you're using the church Bibles. And if you're not using the church Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And what I want us to do is I want us to read verses 12 through 22 together as a church for the charge on this body going forward. Now, you're going to be reading as Paul was writing the church in Thessalonica. And so as you're saying, we ask you, think about this is Paul asking us, me, we. Okay, you don't have to say that. You can read it just the way it is. But I want you to read this as this is coming to you. And we're going to read this together. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 22. From the English Standard Version. Does everyone have it? Please read with me. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And now I'm going to read verses 23 and 24 to you, because this is a pure benediction. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen. Lord God, would you be with these incredibly dear people in this next season of ministry at Mayer Community Church? I thank you for what you taught Cheryl and me. I thank you for how you were able to use us here. Thank you for how you were able to use the men and women and children of this church to minister us and to mold us and to continue in the process of our sanctification. We just ask that your grace would be on this body, that you would use them powerfully as a light to this community, that individually we would be salt in this community, that we would always be able to give a reason for the hope that we have in Christ, that our hearts would break for those who have formed a worldview that has left you out or has so twisted their view of you that they have no room for Jesus or the church. Oh God, would you use this body of believers, this assembly, to carry out the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, to make disciples of all nations, to love you with everything they have, to love their neighbors as ourselves, and to do it for your glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, as part of the vine,